Welcome to the Gospel Transformation Podcast with Stijn Versluis. We believe you will be transformed as you see Jesus through his word today. Are you ready? Let's listen to Stijn.
Hello, welcome to this Gospel Transformation Podcast. I'm so happy to be with you again today to share the word of God with you. And today, I want to talk about Christ, our righteousness. Now, in the last couple of podcasts, we have been talking about who Jesus is, and we are continuing to do that because when we see Jesus, that's when we are changed. And I have shared with you last time about Christ, the wisdom of God. And then we saw that it is expressed in Christ being our wisdom, but also being our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So last time we talked about Christ, our wisdom, and I believe if you haven't listened to that one, you should, because that podcast revealed something so fundamental, you know, not just about what Jesus has done and how God has done that, but also how that principle will work in your life. So that's a very foundational message. But today I wanted to talk about another very, very foundational topic, and that's our righteousness. But before we jump into that, I want to pray together as we open the word. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening right now. I thank you that we are together, Lord. Thank you that in the spirit there is no distance. Thank you that we are sitting across of each other, sharing the word. And thank you that as we listen to you, you bring it alive in our hearts. Lord, we open our hearts to you to receive your word so that it can change our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So Christ our righteousness. Now, before we dive into that, I just want to explain to you why I think this is such an important topic. And it has many reasons, of course. Most of all, because it's the central thought of, you know, the scriptures is Jesus and what he has done for us. But when it comes to people and when it comes to humanity, I think there is an important thing we have to consider here. And that is that once we realize there is a God, we also realize that there is a universal standard of morality. You know, if there's a God who created everything, it also gives us the reason why right is right and wrong is wrong. You know, maliciously murdering someone is wrong in every culture, wherever you go. Whether you go deep into, you know, South America, where some tribes live, or Africa, or whether you are in a civilized and modern nation, you know, like Europe, UK, or the United States. In all those places, malicious murder is considered to be wrong. Now, why is that? Because there is a universal standard of right and wrong. Now, that's one of the main arguments for the existence of God. But also, when you then realize that there is a God, and when you realize there is a moral standard, the next thing that happens is that you realize that you don't meet the standard. You realize there's right and wrong, and you also realize that you're not perfect. Maybe you didn't maliciously murder someone. I hope not. But even, you know, other things that we do, you know, once we get exposed to the existence of God and the existence of morality, you know, the inevitable thing that's going to happen is that we are going to realize that we are not what we ought to be. And so then the question comes up, if there is a God, and if I am not what I ought to be, according to his standard, then how do I get right with God? And this is a question, I think, that every person has to face in their lives. As they realize that there is a God, they have to ask themselves the question, how do I get right with God? How do I get as I ought to be before him? Now, that's exactly where our topic of today comes in. Because when you look at the word righteousness, it says the state of him who is as he ought to be. That's the, you know, scholarly definition of righteousness. The state of him who is as he ought to be acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. To be justified, it means to be declared righteous. It means that God says you are as you ought to be. And it also means that our sins are forgiven and that we are without sin before a holy God, and that we can access him and that we can have a relationship with him. Understanding justification by faith, being declared righteous by faith, or being declared, you know, acquitted, that principle is foundational for your relationship with God. If you don't understand this, your relationship with God will never really develop, because you will always come to him with a sense of unworthiness, with a sense that there is a barrier, that there is a distance between you and God because of your sin. But when you are going to understand what it means to be righteous by faith, everything changes, because now your relationship with God will have a solid foundation, because it will be no longer based on what you do, but on what he has done. Now, I'm going to explain that more in this podcast, and I believe it's going to be a tremendous blessing to all of us. And actually, if you really grasp it, this can be a podcast that you will remember for the rest of your life, that this is the day that I received this insight and that my relationship with God changed fundamentally. So are you ready? Let's dive into today's topic even more by reading the scriptures. So we are going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans, I would say, is the book in the New Testament that talks about the topic of being righteous by faith. That's basically the point that the whole book revolves around. And some major theologians, and I think I agree with them, are saying that, you know, this is the most important book of the New Testament. And I think that's a very right statement, because if you understand Romans, it gives you an understanding of why Jesus came. And it's the whole foundation of New Testament doctrine. So very, very important. Now, the book of Romans starts with Paul pointing out that both Jews and Gentiles. Now, what are Gentiles? Simply those who are not Jews. That's a very simple statement, of course, but it means basically all the other peoples of the earth. He says both Jews and Gentiles, they've all missed it. None of them is as they ought to be. He says they've all sinned. They are all under sin. And he goes to great efforts, you know, to prove that. He talks about, you know, those who don't know God at all, who are not living under a revelation of God, like the Jews who had the Ten Commandments, who had the law, who had the revelation of the prophets. But regardless of where we are, he points out that every human being, no matter if you look good on the outside, if you don't look good on the outside, if you have a good family background or if you haven't, if you're quote unquote serving God or not, it does not matter. Every person in this world has missed it. None of us meets the standard. And then, of course, that is his introduction to the great topic of righteousness by faith. So we read, after he has accused basically both Gentiles and Jews that they have to be reconciled to God, it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." So let me explain that. What is the law? The law is God's revelation of what's right and what's wrong. And it means that if you keep it perfectly, you are blessed. If you don't keep it perfectly, you're wrong. You're cursed. So the law is very black and white. It's either be perfect or you're not perfect. It's a perfect standard. And, you know, I think many of us know the Ten Commandments. Things like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All those things, they're absolutes. And Jesus even goes to explain it in the New Testament in more detail. And he even talks about, he says, if you even think about a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you even have hatred in your heart against a brother, you haven't even said a word, you are guilty of murder. So, and then he concludes and he says, so be perfect. And what does it do? It says here that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Why? It goes on to say, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Why? Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You know, the problem with the law is that the law is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. It gives us a perfect revelation of how God wants us to live. But the problem is us. we are not able to keep the law. And especially when you then look at, you know, what Jesus talks about, as I just mentioned, even those thoughts and those feelings, it really makes a clear point, and it makes the point that everyone in this earth, everyone has missed it. There is no one who has kept the law perfectly in every detail. And so that makes a very strong case. And it says, we become conscious of our sin. You know, when you are confronted with the perfection of the law, the moral standard of God, you will automatically become conscious of sin. You will start to say, oh, I tried to, you know, be good in the eyes of God. I tried to be as I ought to be. But I realize that I can never, ever do that. And where does this end up? It ends up with us saying, God, I need a savior. And man, that's exactly where God wants us to be, because that's why Jesus came. If we could have kept the law, if we could have had a relationship with God based on our performance, Jesus would not have had to come. But he did come. And now it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, has been revealed, to which the law and the prophets testify. So Paul is now bringing in another kind, another way of becoming righteous before God. He says, this system of trying to be perfect by keeping all these rules and regulations, he says, it's never going to work. All it will do is it will make you realize that you can't do it. He says, so God brings in a different way of becoming right in his sight. He brings in a different method of becoming righteous before God. And he says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a mouthful, and there's so much in here. You know, I think I could take much more time even than just this podcast to unpack this. But let's just look at the key elements here. It says that this righteousness, now again, that means that God declares you right in his sight, that he declares you as you ought to be. And it says it's given through faith in Jesus Christ. It says it's given. And if you continue to read, it says that we are justified by his grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. You know, we don't become righteous because we deserve it. We don't become righteous because, yeah, you know, you tried your best. You didn't maybe, you know, keep the law perfectly, but, you know, you did your best, so let me give you righteousness. No, none of us deserves it at all. Actually, we deserve punishment because we have blown it. We have dishonored God. We have, you know, gone the wrong way. But he says, by grace, purely because of my goodness, I provide you with this way of justification. And then it says, it's through faith. Now, that's the big, big point of this message today. You know, it's not by works, not by effort, but it's by faith. What is faith? You know, people make so many things out of faith. You know, some people think that faith is, if you believe it's so for you. You know, and they will even talk about Christianity. They will say, yeah, it's a belief, it's a faith. So we can't prove it. It's not based on facts. We all know that. It's just something that, you know, you have to believe. And if you believe it and it makes you happy, that's great. But that's your belief. Well, that's a very, I would say, secular way of looking at it. Actually, this is really, really wrong. Because Christian faith is not based on a mental assent. It's not based on a mental decision. Okay, I'm going to believe what this person says. No. Paul didn't talk to people and say, well, I can't really give you any good reason, but I'm just going to say I'm believing this. And yeah, if you want this, then you just have to believe it. No, that's not what he said. You know what Paul said? He said, I'm testifying to you that Christ was crucified, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And he says, if you don't believe me, well, there are 500 people that have seen him, and a number of them is still alive, and you can even go and ask them. That doesn't sound like a modernized, westernized definition of belief or faith. Basically, what Paul is saying, he says, look, here are the facts. Face it. these are the facts, guys. This is what happened. This is the truth. Now, the question is not if you believe it's true or not so much. It's what do you do with this? What do you do with what Jesus has done? What do you do with these divine facts? And actually, what we should do is trust. Put our trust in it, because that's what faith is all about. It's about trust. I once heard a story of somebody who was looking for a way to describe faith in another, you know, new language that he was trying to identify of some tribe somewhere. And then he came up with a word that was similar to letting yourself fall into a chair. It's a sign of trust. It's a sign of surrender. That's what faith is about. And it's an assurance in your heart. It's not a maybe it's so. No, it's a knowing. It's an assurance in your heart. That's what faith is. It's trust and assurance. And actually, if you have true faith, it will always lead to action. And there's another example that I sometimes give. I tell people, you know, faith is not just believing that something is true. You know, the devil even believes. And, you know, he trembles, actually. He believes in Jesus. He believes that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he doesn't like it at all. No, what we need to do is we need to submit to it. We need to submit to Christ. You know, true faith always leads to actions. That's what James talks about. You know, if you're in a burning house and I come to you and I say, the house is on fire, and you believe me, what will you do? Will you sit on your chair? No, of course not. You will maybe warn other people and you will leave the building as soon as possible, because you believe it's true. Now, if you believe that God loves you, if you believe that Jesus came and died for your sins on the cross, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, if that's really true and you really believe it, then it's an invitation for you to respond and to give your life to him, because that's the only right response to this message. So that's what faith is about. It's about trust and surrender to Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul is saying, people in the past, you know, they relied on their performance, how they come to God. But now we come to this realization that we can't do it this way. So what we need to do is we need to put our trust in Jesus. That's what faith is all about. If there's one thing I want you to remember today, is that faith is about trusting Jesus. And it's talking about trusting in what Jesus Christ has done. If you read on, in the same chapter, and you go to verse 25, it says, God set forth Christ as a propitiation. You know, it's the way by which he reconciled us to him through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So faith here is faith in the blood of Jesus. It's putting our trust in what the blood of Jesus has accomplished. It's saying, if Jesus shed his blood, it's perfect blood, and it is enough for all my sins. I choose to believe that. I put my trust in Jesus, put my trust in his blood. You know, why is that so important? You know, when it comes to righteousness, we have to really understand that it all starts with an understanding that we were separated from God because of sin. You know, and sin is not just something that destroys our lives. No, it's something that hinders us from having a relationship with God. Actually, God is angry about sin. And, you know, God is, because he is holy and just, he has to judge sin. And sin always, you know, is connected to a sinner. So that's why God has to judge the sinner. And he's going to do that. You know, there's going to be a day where God is going to judge every person for their sins. And because we already discussed it, you know, that's not good news for those who are still in their sins, because it's not going to be a good outcome. But there is a solution for us. And that's why the blood of Jesus came. Jesus, he shed his blood to reconcile God and man. God didn't want to punish you for your sins, so he punished his own son. You know, Jesus went through so much suffering, and it says in Isaiah chapter 53 that he was crushed for our wrongdoings. You know, Jesus bled and died. He shed his blood. And it was much more than just a picture of, you know, that God loves us, or it was a certain illustration. No, it was the real thing. The blood of Jesus was shed. Jesus died on the cross. He was crushed. He was forsaken by God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is serious. He paid the price. He bore the wrath of God for sinful men. And his blood was enough. When God saw the blood of Jesus, when God put all his wrath, all the anger he has towards sin, he put it all on Jesus. And Jesus died as a sacrifice. And he shed his blood. He paid the full price, the full penalty for everything that we've done. And then when God looked at the blood, he said, "My justice is satisfied." So everybody who puts their faith, their trust in the blood of Jesus, I will declare him righteous. Why? Because someone else has borne their punishment in their place. You know, you and I, we deserve punishment for our sins. But the great news is that someone else bore the punishment in our place. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, my friend, that's the gospel. That's the good news. And then Jesus rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And it says that he was delivered over for our transgressions, but that he was raised because of our justification. That's the last verse of, Romans chapter 4. It doesn't say that he was raised to justify us. No, it says that he was raised because he justified us. What does it mean? It means that the blood of Jesus was enough. The blood of Jesus took care of all the sin, and it took care of all the anger of God towards sin. It was fully dealt with by the blood of Christ. And so when Christ was raised from the dead, it's proof to us that his blood did a perfect work. Jesus said, "It's finished. It's done." God's wrath on sin has been satisfied. The punishment for sin has taken place. It's finished. It's done. It's all because of the blood. And now those of us who choose to trust in the propitiation, you know, the reconciliation, the atoning sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, those are declared righteous in the eyes of God. It says, as we started, you know, that righteousness, according to the scholars, is the state of him who is as he ought to be. You know, when the blood of Jesus has washed away all your unrighteousness, you are as you ought to be in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. Wow. There is so much more to say about this, and I believe I'll take the next podcast to discuss even more about this. But I just feel that this is so foundational. This is so important. So if you are listening today and you've never put your trust in Jesus, you've never put your trust in the blood of Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. If you want to submit to Jesus, if you want to follow him, and you have faith that he was raised from the dead, just pray these words after me. Say, "Jesus, thank you for the blood that washes all my sins away. I choose to trust in your blood. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, I belong to you. Amen." My friend, if you pray this prayer, the Bible says you're born again, you're a child of God, you're righteous in the eyes of God. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, if you're now this new believer, if you've prayed this prayer for the first time, if you're not connected to a church, please get connected to a church where they talk about Jesus all the time. Read your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. And I also encourage you to keep listening to this podcast because it's going to help you in your relationship with God. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And I believe we're going to meet next time on this podcast, and we're going to even discover more about this great topic of righteousness by faith.
Thank you for listening to the Gospel Transformation Podcast. We believe your life will never be the same again. Would you like to know more about our ministry or partner with us? Please visit our website at www.gospel-transformation.org. Gospel Transformation, sharing the good news and bringing others along.